Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Of the American Redoubt. This is John Jacob Schmidt. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. We're broadcasting from the heart of the American Redoubt, the safe zones, the safe haven, the fallback position, the refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that are strategically relocating to safe havens ahead of the coming storm. That those of you that are in the audience that are awake, you realize that there is a storm coming. We're on borrowed time and we want to make the most use of that. And not letting our foot off the gas, staying in the fight for liberty, it takes a toll on you. And sometimes you just need to step back. You need to take a break. You need to recharge your batteries. And we were able to do that this last week at God and Country, the God and Country celebration up in Marble, Washington. And if that is a redoubt within a redoubt, that is an amazing place. You can really feel the spirit of the Lord there and the spirit of liberty, of course. And we got to rub elbows with a lot of patriots. Sometimes we don't get to see, but once a year at God and Country, some great speakers. And it was just a great time to rejuvenate. For those of you who were able to make the trip up there, it was great to see you guys again. If you didn't, I was able to get a copy of one of the two presentations that I gave, and I'm going through that. I'm probably going to add that as a segment for this weekend's show, for tomorrow night's podcast, Sunday evening, 8 p.m., every Sunday evening, except this last Sunday evening, because I was on the road. And normally here at Radio Free Redoubt, the staff takes the week of 4th of July and the week of Christmas off. And so here we were. I was hoping to get something out, but the way the schedule laid out, I was not able to because I was on the road. But anyway, I hope you guys are having a blessed and safe Independence Day week. And I'll be talking more about that tomorrow night. Some of our heritage that we don't want to forget, and what I normally try to do prior to 4th of July, leading up. But one of the folks that I was able to see, and it's always a treat to be able to spend time talking with, was a guest that we've had before, and so it's an honor to have him on here. We're going to be following up with this topic that we're going to be talking about, but today we are going to be focused on the wolf issue. It's not just an issue, it is a problem. It is a major problem, and there's so much tied into this, and there's so many ramifications. If you don't think the wolf issue affects you, I think you might be mistaken. You don't have to be a rancher to be have adverse effects on you, because what they're doing is they're creating a pattern of government management, if you want to call it that, that really will have a ripple effect on many different facets of our lives. But this is just one area, and it does directly affect you. If you eat beef, it probably is going to affect you, especially in the inland Pacific Northwest. So it's an honor to bring on a great friend of mine from, and he is joining us from Forward Operating Base Fort Liberty in occupied territory in an undisclosed location. On the front lines, he's our Liberty Watch Washington Consulate General to Liberty State, one of our many emissaries out there waving the banner and spreading the word about Liberty State. And we're talking about Steve McLaughlin, retired Navy, and he's been doing a lot of work with ranchers, not just across Washington, but also in Oregon as well. So in the American Redoubt, addressing the apex carnivore issues, and specifically wolves. Wolves are what are known as an apex carnivore. So we'll have Steve talk more about that and what that means. So, Steve, thanks for joining us here at Radio Free Redoubt.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Okay, now we've got it was a great weekend. Great to see you, by the way, once again. Unfortunately, they had us both scheduled at the same time this last weekend. Hopefully, we can get the schedule changed up at God and Country for next year. Because while I was speaking, you were talking about the wolf issue, and I heard you talk about it Friday night a little bit. But I missed your presentation. I know most of the listeners here did too. So, what is an apex carnivore, and why are the wolves? Why is the wolf issue such a problem that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, an apex carnivore, of course, is the top of the food chain predator. Specifically, it's wolves, grizzly bears, black bears, and cougars are considered the apex predators here in this area, in the region. And the wolf issue really is, it's a very complex political issue. It's a complex biological issue on what the real deal about the wolf is. And of course, it's causing all kinds of significant economic losses to ranchers who have been affected by wolf depredations that I'd like to talk about a little bit.
Sure. And this last weekend also, we had several ranchers that are affected directly by this. Up at God and Country, we're able to talk to directly. And I know you were spending a lot of time talking to them. How are the ranchers directly affected by the wolf problem?
Well, what we never see is what the true economic losses are to a rancher after a depredation. People will tell you, well, the wolf just killed a calf, and that's it. And then if the rancher goes to ask for lethal control measures, you know, the opposition will come forward and say, well, a helicopter costs $1,200 an hour. But what people don't see is the long-term and unseen economic effects of a wolf depredation. The way wolves kill is they round up cattle and they harass the cattle or sheep in such a manner as to increase their stress levels. And then what they'll do is they'll isolate a cow or a calf and run it away from the herd after the herd's riled up. And when they take that cow or calf away from the herd, they will drive it into a remote location like a thicket or down into a ravine where they can really isolate it and pin it down. And then just like in an awful horror movie, the wolves will eat their prey alive. And so the poor wolf or the poor, calf or cow is suffering significantly. But on the unseen side, when it comes time to do pregnancy checks on cattle, we're finding that a herd that has been harassed by wolves or there have been depredations within the herd, we're seeing the number of open cows significantly increase from an industry standard of about 5% to as high as 25% in the herd. And if you and what that means is that cow is not going to have a calf the coming year. And thereafter, because it's also industry practice, if a cow comes up open, to take that cow and sell it off at market for slaughter. We have to look at cattle, production cattle, as if they are parts of a factory that make calves that provide, you know, the American food supply of beef.
What is your estimation of the loss of calving or the cow's pregnancy because of the wolves? What would you say? Could you put a percentage on the reduction in cattle reproduction?
You'll see about a 15 to 20% increase in open cows. Normally it's 5%. That's the percentage. Now,
what's an open
let's
cow?
Talk about the economic loss. About a month and a half ago, I attended a cattle sale in Oregon of 143 mother cows aged 3 to about 6 years old. And that means they have 9 down to about 4 years left of production of you know, creating new calves over the years that they would be in production. The sale of these cattle were, of these 143, the rancher netted about $100,000 in the sale. And it represents a true loss of over $1 million in gross revenue over, you know, a 3 year to a 9 year period of production. Mm-hmm. And what that means, you know, $1 million, people would say, well, that's a rich rancher. He's got all kinds of money with, you know, $1 million in losses.
Right.
Well, that's not true. That's just gross revenue that the rancher uses to provide for fuel, to move cattle around, and farm ranch equipment,
right,
such as haying equipment, mowers, balers, and that type of thing. Salaries for the ranch hands, and all types of other, you know, expenses that the rancher pays, including feed and other things that keep that production system alive.
Well, and that all contributes to the local economy where those ranchers live and operate.
That's right. And, you know, for every dollar a rancher spends on the economy of a town, that dollar is spent five more times. What really happened in this particular case is probably a loss of, you know, close to $5 million to the community. So, you know, farm equipment centers, employment, you know, even the place to go and buy yourself a new pair of shoes.
Right. So when these wolves take down a calf, they're not just killing a single animal. They're creating so much stress that you're seeing up to a 20% reduction in birthing or pregnancies for cows. So you're actually, one calf is going to have the effect of losing as many as 5 or 10 head of cattle just because of the drop in reproduction, because of the stress that that's putting on the herd.
And it'll result in the sale and subsequent, you know, removal of those cows, those mother cows that come up open.
And open, by open, you mean just they're not getting pregnant.
An open cow is a cow that is not pregnant.
Okay. All right. Now, how did all this start? I mean, why do we have wolves? Because aren't they just a natural part of our ecosystem?
Wolves were reintroduced in the late 90s in the Yellowstone National Park. And after the first year in the park, wolves were euthanized or killed, and then another pack was reintroduced a little bit later due to the behavior of the first pack. It was removed. And so since then, wolves have come into Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, even South Dakota, kind of down through Alberta, and also into Washington via Idaho and British Columbia.
Well, aren't the wolves in Washington also reintroduced? Are these not also reintroduced wolves? Like specifically, they placed a pack in Washington State, in where you're talking about?
Nobody will admit to that, although I suspect it.
Okay.
And so it's really hard to find anybody to admit that wolves were artificially reintroduced. Having said that, you know, I suspect it.
I know over in Idaho, they deliberately, much fanfare, they deliberately introduced wolf packs into several different parts of national forests in Idaho.
Yeah.
They were hailing it as this wonderful thing that from the reports that I've been able to see, they are not even wolves that were indigenous to the area when there were wolves before they eradicated. These are Canadian timber wolves.
Canadian gray. And
okay.
You're, you know, I believe you're correct in that assessment. I'm working with a number of biologists who have international renown. And they all agree that the wolf is a single species.
Huh. Okay.
And so, you know, having said that, you know, the size of the wolf is, you know, kind of driven by its diet. But there is what is considered to be a subspecies of Canadian gray wolf, which was not indigenous to this area. And, you know, another thing that the wolf, you know, apart from economic loss, the wolf is creating an emerging threat to public safety. And what I mean by that is, you know, the primary prey for a wolf are called ungulates, deer, elk, moose, bison, antelope.
Right.
You know, typically your large prairie plains animals and those same kind of protein sources that we like to hunt for.
Right.
And what we've seen over the past few years, especially in Stevens County, is a rapid spiraling down of deer, elk, and moose populations in the area. And, you know, wolves, just like humans, always have to seek a food source. If there's no food in an area, we're going to move somewhere to where we can find food. Just like if the, you know, the refrigerator's empty, you know, in the kitchen, you may have to go into the pantry to find your food or down to the grocery store.
Right.
Well, the wolf is going to do the same thing. And the problem that we've been seeing over the last year or two is we're starting to see wolves show up in the valleys where the human activity is. And last fall, we had a ranch hand who was stalked by a wolf up in the Deep Lake area of Stevens County. We've had wolves harass a herd of cattle in the same area. They harass 400 plus heifers in an area 3 hours after the rancher turned that cattle out.
Wow.
Onto private property.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on a break. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. And then we come back. I want to hear more about this. And of course, this is just a teaser because of the time that we have, but we're definitely going to be following up on this more. And we want to give the listeners action items where they can go to learn more and what they might be able to do about it. So we're with Steve McLaughlin, working on the wolf issue in Washington State specifically. And we're going to learn more and give you guys some resources to go and learn more yourselves as well when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and this segment was brought to you by Works Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, works.com. for your holster needs, and they're made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. So stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted. But you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in. Don't back down. And never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face. In your hearts are inscribed the values of service, sacrifice, and devotion. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. The story of America is the story of an adventure that began with deep faith, big dreams, and humble beginnings. The next generation of American leaders. Never, ever give up.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Redoubt.
And we are back here at Radio Free Redoubt, going into segment two. And segment two is brought to you by our friends and Patriot-owned business, Riverfront Suites. Riverfrontsuites.com is where you want to go to find out how you can stay on the beautiful St. Joe in St. Mary's, Idaho, at the southern tip of Coeur d'Alene Lake. Beautiful. This time of year, it's you want to be around water. It's hot in the 90s. It's about time. It's July. Loving it. Okay, we are with our guest, Steve McLaughlin, talking about the wolf issue. And just the last few minutes that we have here, want to bring you more information, especially we're going to get into what you can do about it in the listening audience, and how it, have more about how this affects you, and some resources where you can learn more to help inform others, especially our friends up north in Stevens County, particularly Ferry County and Ponderay County, for those of you in a listening audience within our reach. And welcome, by the way, our 96.5 listeners and AM 630, and especially outside the wire and occupied territory, our live listening audience on live streaming. Okay, Steve McLaughlin, thank you, sir, for being with us and talking to us about the wolf issue.
Always a pleasure.
Okay, where we left off, we're talking about the impact on the wolves, these numbers, or the types of wolves that we have in this area. I don't know. That's the first I've heard where you mentioned that some of these biologists are saying there's really only one strain of wolf, if you want to call it that.
One species.
One species. Interesting, because I've heard there are multiple different – I mean, they're all wolves, of course. They're all one species of wolves, but there's definitely there's the red wolf. You know, you see like in New Mexico, there's the timber wolf, in the gray wolf. I mean, there's definitely some distinctive differences. So what do we have here in the American Redoubt?
Well, I will, for the sake of argument, call them Canadian gray wolves, or we can just shorten it to the gray wolf. And the gray wolf typically is a much bigger species,
yeah,
than what you see with the Mexican red wolf and the eastern red wolves.
Okay, so where can folks go to learn more about this issue? And is there somebody tracking this? Is there kind of a central kind of repository on this wolf research and the detrimental effects that they're having on our beef industry and our ranchers?
Well, I'm currently in the process of collecting data to show the economic loss. And I wrote a paper on the unseen economic losses of wolf depredations. That can be found at the Wolf Education International website, or I think it's wei.org. And if you don't find it on .org, look on .com, but it's wei dot whatever, something.
Okay.
That is managed by Jim Beers and Tom Remington and Will Graves, who have written extensively on the wolf, who are experts on the wolf, and it's contributed to by Dr. Valerius Geist, professor emeritus from University of Alberta, and Ted Lyons, who wrote another good resource called The Real Wolf.
The Real Wolf.
It's available online. You can go down to Lisa Shin's coffee shop in downtown Colville, pick up a copy. You know, Coffee and Books, I think, is the store, and it's in the Chase Bank building.
What's the name of that author? You know, The Real Wolf by who?
Ted Lyons, Lyons, and Will Graves, Graves. The book is The Real Wolf.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Why is this a problem? I mean, why don't they just go out there and just decimate the wolf packs that are trying to decimate the cattle? What's the problem?
Well, the problem is that the wolf is in two-thirds of the state of Washington, it's federally protected. In about half of Oregon, it's protected by the federal government. In the state of Washington, it is protected statewide.
Really?
And it's on the Washington Endangered Species List.
So now, what recourse do the ranchers have then?
try to delist that wolf now.
Okay, that's the recourse that the ranchers have, is to try to delist the wolf? What do they do in the meantime?
Well, what we're looking for, too, is to hire a special deputy as a wildlife officer, because it's our belief that the Department of Fish and Wildlife in Washington is not doing enough. They're not acting in partnership with the ranchers and other business owners on the wolf. And we're creating a real problem. And I think this summer is going to be a very bad year for ranchers who have already started turning their livestock out into grazing allotments.
Wow.
Both public and private.
Okay, well, we just got about a minute left. So what's the final parting shot you would like to leave with the listeners? And what would be their action item? What can they do?
First off, is get yourself educated on the danger of the wolf by looking at those two resources I provided. Second, if in the rare instance that you do see a wolf caught in the act of preying on cattle or domestic stock or on private ground, call your sheriff. In Stevens County in particular, call the sheriff's office to get a special deputy on the way out to that area. Secondly, in wolf country where wolves are becoming a threat to human activity, have a means to defend yourself. We're starting to see it. You know, I'll say I carry a weapon with me every time I'm in wolf country. I'll just leave it at that.
Yep, understood. Well, I'm a strong advocate of being able to protect yourself from all apex predators, two-legged and four-legged. So if you're armed already, well, you're already covered then. But, Steve, I want to thank you so much. We are out of time, but I look forward to following up with you in the future. This was Steve McLaughlin and working on the wolf issue. And we will get these resources uploaded to our highlights and resources posting at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for this episode. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast, RadioFreeRedoubt.com. This is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Have a blessed weekend.